Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. You can just set it down the side here. Let's stand one more time. Praise the Lord. And if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me in the book of Revelation to the second chapter. We started last week looking at the seven churches of Asia. And last week we looked at them in general. And last week it was more of a Bible study. But I want to tell you something. I've told Amanda this before, and I've told others this, and I'll tell you this as well, and I'm sure Brother Harry can testify to this. There are times as a preacher when you deliver the word of the Lord, and you go with something that you know would be good and helpful and edifying, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. But you don't necessarily know that you've heard from God. You just deliver the best you can, and it's the word of the Lord, and if it's the word of the Lord, that's what matters. Then there are other times you know you've heard from God. This is one of those times. Last night, we were praying yesterday afternoon, Tuesday night, being prayer night, and we were actually here at the church. We came down a little early, but we were here at the church, and as I was thinking, the Lord has been laying the seven churches of Asia on my heart for some time. But as I was praying last night, the Lord began to talk to me and speak to me about this very service tonight. And so I would ask you to withhold any questions or comments until after the message tonight. But I want to preach to you for a little while from Revelation 2. And tonight our focus is on the church at Ephesus. And I'm just going to read one line, and then I'm going to pray, and we're going to allow you to be seated, or I'll have someone pray and we'll allow you to be seated. But all I want to read for you is Revelation 2, 1, and the very first phrase of that, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. Tonight I want to preach to you about the spirit of Ephesus. The spirit of Ephesus. Brother Gray, would you pray and ask the Lord to bless his word for us? Amen. Shake hands with somebody before you're seated and welcome them into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Everybody say amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. The angel of the church of Ephesus, the Lord said, write. Last week we talked a little bit about some of the speculation over who the seven churches of Revelation represent. Some people say they represent time periods. Some people might say that they represent spirits. We discussed a few of those options last week in general, referring to the seven churches of Asia. But tonight I want to focus on one, and that's the first church, Ephesus. If the Lord leads over the next few weeks, I'm going to be preaching to us on Wednesday nights about a different church each week. But I want to talk to us about Ephesus tonight. I believe that these churches were given to us to teach us. We mentioned last week the fact that there were numerous churches throughout Asia and throughout the Middle East. Whenever John received this revelation from God, there was a church in Jerusalem, there was a church in Antioch, there was a church in Rome, Thessalonica, Corinth. But these seven churches were chosen. And I believe that they were chosen because they represent seven types of churches. They represent seven different churches with seven different characteristics. In other words, we could look at these seven churches, each of them, as being a model of a particular kind of church. And we can learn from each type of church. And I want you to follow along with me in Revelation, the second chapter. The first thing he said was, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write. As we mentioned last week, this implies that each church has an angel that has been charged with the oversight of that specific church. God throughout the Bible used an angel to deliver his message to people and to individuals. He used an angel to speak to Samson's mother and father. He used an angel at different times to speak to Abraham, and so on and so forth. And here he says that the word was being delivered to the angel of the church of Ephesus, implying that there was one angel specified with the job, the duty, the office of representing Ephesus before God's throne. I pictured, as I thought about this last night, I pictured in my mind's eye an angel dedicated and devoted to New Start Church. I pictured in my mind's eye that God has a message, and I believe with all of my heart that he has a message for us and for this church tonight. And if we will hear what the messenger or what the angel of the Lord has to say to the church that we call New Start tonight. He said, write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. Now chapter 1 and verse 20 last week, we learned that the seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. In other words, God holds them in his right hand. The right hand throughout the Bible symbolizes power, and God controls their coming and their going. Those seven angels do what God commands them to do. They execute his will to the seven churches. And so he holds them in his right hand. The next phrase says, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And I want to dwell on this for just a minute, because we learned last week in chapter 1 and verse 20 that the seven golden candlesticks are the churches themselves. Can you say amen? Amen. It said that the seven golden candlesticks are the churches. God walks in their midst. I like the fact, Brother Harry, that when he talks about the churches here in Revelation, and he's about to do some rebuking. Did you hear what I said? He's about to lay down the law in some cases. But he starts it off by saying, I want you to know that I walk in your midst. Even though I'm not 100% pleased with everything you're doing, he said, I'm still in your midst. I'm still walking amongst the candlesticks. I'm letting you know that I am in there. The messages are going to encourage. The messages are going to rebuke. The messages are going to chasten. Sometimes they'll be positive. Sometimes they'll be negative. But God wants them to know from the very beginning that he is in their midst. The word of the Lord says that those that God loves, he chastens. Can you say amen? A church that is never chastened should question their standing with God. A people that is never chastened should question what they're preaching and what they're teaching. Because much of what God said to the churches in the book of Revelation was stern and a warning in nature. But through it all, he said, I want you to know that I am walking in the midst of the candlesticks. I am glad to know tonight that even when I fail, even when I stumble, even when we don't always do things the right way, even when we don't always find the perfect mind and will of God, it's good to know that God is still in our midst. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And then he goes on to say in verse 2, he said, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Everybody say works. Everybody say labor. And thy patience. Let me tell you something, folks. Ephesus was a working church. Matter of fact, in this short letter that he writes in Revelations to the Ephesians, he commends them for their hard work 5 times in just a few verses. They were a working church. Ephesus was such a hard working church that Paul had to once remind them that you're not saved by works. It was to the Ephesians that Paul said, by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Even Paul sensed when he went to Ephesus and he visited there and he saw people that were busy as bees And Paul said to himself, I need to make sure these people understand that their work is good. There's nothing wrong with their work, but they can't work themselves into heaven. Amen. And so he corrected them in that manner. Nobody could ever call the Ephesians lazy. The Lord said, I know your works. I know your labor. I know your patience. And then he said, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. In other words, he said to the Ephesians, you've tried the spirits to see if they were of God. He said they were not fooled by a counterfeit. They had experienced the real thing. They would not be deceived by a fake charismatic show. But God said, you've tried them that called themselves apostles, and you found that they were not. You found that they were liars. They knew what the real Holy Ghost felt like. Can somebody say praise the Lord? They knew what the real Holy Ghost looked like. They knew how it changed a man and how it changed a woman. They knew that when you got the real thing, that you didn't walk like you used to walk. They knew that when you got the real thing, you didn't talk like you used to talk. They knew that when you got the real thing, it caused a change in your life. You didn't live like you used to live. You didn't act like you used to live. Amen. And the Ephesians said, we know what the real looks like because we've experienced the real thing. Hallelujah. We live in a world today, all you got to do is turn on Facebook. I know y'all get tired of me talking about Facebook. But you turn on the internet and you turn on Facebook, and every time you turn around, somebody's calling themselves apostle this and apostle that. And everybody wants this title and that title. And sometimes I get so sick of it, because I know that the apostles of the early church were men who preached the apostles' doctrine. Hallelujah. I know that they preached repentance. They preached baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. They preached the infilling of the Holy Ghost. They preached living a godly life and a clean life. They were not men that just threw a title around, but they were people that lived what they preached, and they practiced what they preached. Yet we've got folks nowadays, everybody wants to be apostle this and apostle that. Amen. But the Lord said to the Ephesians, he said, you've tried them that say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars. Oh, amen. I'll never forget old Sister Bunch, and some of them, you've heard me tell this. Brother Sean Kilpatrick said he still preaches this in his church to this day. But to this day, I remember going and holding house services at Sister Bunch's house in Biloxi, Mississippi, because she couldn't get out of the house, and she was physically confined to her house, and we'd go over there and we'd have church. And we'd have good church, and she was a dear old saint of God. And she would talk about some of the things that were going on, and some of the shows that were going on in the name of Christianity, and people that were talking in tongues. And you know what I believe about tongues. But you also know that I believe you can't teach it to somebody. And you know that I don't believe that you can get in a room somewhere in the back and tell somebody to say, see my tie three times, and then it's just going to happen. The Bible says it was as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. And that's still the way that it comes today. It doesn't come by being taught, but it comes because somebody is filled with the Holy Ghost. And Sister Bunch said, as I sat in her living room, she said she had heard some people speaking in tongues, and she was just a blunt old saint of God. And she said, but it didn't have that Jerusalem ring to it. Amen. What was she saying? Somebody said, well, she was being judgmental. You call it what you want. But the Bible says, try the spirits whether they be of God. Try the spirits whether they be of God. And what she was saying is, I know what I got. I know what I experience. And not everything that babbles and not everything that talks has the same spirit that I received. And when you went to the church at Ephesus, you didn't fool anybody, because they knew what the real deal was like. He said, you tried them that say they are apostles and are not, and you found them liars. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Somebody remembers the night that the Lord came down in your life, and it changed you. Amen. It changed you. You look at people who continue to live the way they used to live. And you say, you claim that a change has been made in your life. Something just don't add up. Something doesn't add up. And then he said in verse 3, he said, you've borne and has patience, and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. God comes back to their hard working nature. He said, you've borne a lot of things, Ephesus.